Holy Spirit. Amen. The playwright and author Oscar Wilde came out with many famous phrases and sayings. On his deathbed, commenting on the decor of the room around him, he is alleged to have said, "Either that wallpaper goes or I do." But perhaps his most famous phrase is this: "I can resist everything except temptation." Well, last Wednesday, Christians all around the world entered into the season of Lent, the 40 days when we are called to reflect upon our lives, draw closer to God, and above all, prepare to celebrate the most important events of the Christian year. The events of Holy Week, when we remember and give thanks for Jesus' death for us on the cross and his rising to new life at Easter. The 40 days of Lent parallel the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness immediately after his baptism by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. For Jesus, this was a time of testing and temptation that purified him and confirmed him in his identity as God's beloved Son and prepared him for his public ministry. And Christians down the ages have seen Lent as an opportunity to walk in the steps of Jesus, to use this time as a space and an opportunity to wrestle with our own demons and temptations, to seek God's forgiveness and purification, to turn around from all that's wrong in our lives, and to find the wholeness we seek so that we can love and follow God with our hearts and our minds and our soul and our strength. High aims indeed. And perhaps you're sitting there thinking, "That's all very well, but I can resist everything except temptation." How can we hope to live up to the example that Jesus sets? 40 days without food, a wrestling match with the devil. Surely this is all so extreme that it can't really match up to anything that any of us could experience or hope to deal with in our everyday normal existence. Well, I think if we were to think that, we would be wrong. Because when we delve into this story, the story we just listened to in our gospel reading, it has important things to say that can guide us and help us and empower us and enable us to make the very most of the Lenten season that we just entered into. Let's begin by thinking what the scriptures actually have to say about being tempted. Or it might be better to say being tested. Because you see, in the Bible, lots of testing goes on, but it's of two very different types. The first type is when people try to test God. And that always goes down very, very badly indeed. It It's almost like when we test God, we try to drag God down to our level. The Israelites do this when they're wandering about in the desert. They're always testing God, and it leads to God getting really fed up and cross. In contrast, being tested as a human being is seen in the Bible in really positive terms. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. He's thrown into there, and it's the biggest test that can possibly be put to him. Yet it's a test that he comes through. His own faith grows as a result of it, and the faith of everybody around him grows as well, because they've seen him put his trust in God. So when we read about Jesus being tested, like we heard this morning, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's more like a prince earning his spurs, being readied for the work that he is about to do. So the story should cause us to think about the times of temptation and testing that we face. Are they purely occasions to be fled from, to run from? Or are they opportunities to take our stand for God, to put our trust in God and grow as his followers? So having said that, what is it that Jesus is being tested about specifically in that reading from Matthew's Gospel that we listened to just now? The three tests that are put before Jesus are these temptations. The first is the temptation to have unlimited resources. The second is to have unlimited celebrity. And the third is to have unlimited power. Things that you might think on the surface offer life in all its fullness, but on closer inspection turn out to be nothing more than empty promises. So let's look at each of the three tests. The first goes like this. Command these stones to become loaves of bread, says the devil. I think that sounds almost innocuous. But effectively, what the devil is saying to Jesus is, never want again. Have the means to have whatever you desire. In modern day terms, I think it would be like the devil saying to Jesus, I will give you the numbers to next week's Euro Millions Rollover Lottery. I'd give up for that. And it sounds great, does it not? Until we take a cold, hard look at the lives of those whose trust in their absolute wealth and having unlimited cash only brings to them a whole new set of problems. Think about Mr. Jeffrey Epstein. Did he lack for a bob or two? Never in all his life. Yet look where it led him. That's the first temptation. Next one is all about celebrity. The devil takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, and your Father or his angels will catch you. In other words, create a spectacle, be famous, have your own photo shoot in Hello Magazine, appear in the final of Celebrity MasterChef, get your own product endorsements. That's all very alluring, isn't it? Until you're asked the next day to produce a better spectacle to keep people interested. Once you've thrown yourself off the temple and been caught, what do you do next to impress? It's never ending, is it? Finally, Jesus is tempted to ultimate power. The devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he says, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Give up your relationship with God, your heavenly Father, or your trust that you have in the Lord's power, and put your trust in my provision. To which Jesus says, no, for the power of this world is not worth a snap compared to my relationship with God. And if you think about that, it's true, isn't it? Would you like to be Keir Starmer at the moment? Dealing with Gaza and Donald Trump and tariffs in Ukraine and Prince Andrew? Blimey. 15 minutes with the UN Security Council would be ample time to convince any of us that supposed worldly power is rather easier to imagine than it is to realise. So these are three tests, yes, tests of ultimate temptation. So how, unlike Oscar Wilde and the rest of us, did Jesus get to resist them? What enabled him, equipped him, gave him the grace, gave him the strength to look the devil in the eye when faced with these tests and say, no, thank you, I'm not walking away? Because in the text, it's extraordinary, isn't it? We see Jesus tired, deflated, fed up after 40 days of fasting, stripped right back almost literally to the bare bones. All he has to respond with are his instincts, his habits, his essential character. There's nothing left at all. He must have been almost like a skeleton. So how does he see off the temptations that are put to him? What he does is he throws back at the devil the word of God. That's all he's got left in his locker. All his riposte and defences are quotations from scripture. One does not live by bread alone, he says. That's from Deuteronomy. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, he says. Again, from Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Deuteronomy again. Jesus is soaked in the scriptures. When there's nothing else than who Jesus is, he's formed and shaped by God's word, living right inside him, and by through the relationship that he has with his Father. That's who he is. That's what sees him through. Which tells us, I hope, what Lent needs to be for us and what we should seek to be all about as well. The purpose of Lent is to form us and make us and shape us so we are people who have a living, breathing relationship with God and that's fed by God all the time. So that as people in relationship with God, that's ultimately who we are and what our lives are all about. So that in good times and bad, that life of God living in us is so ingrained in us, it's so completely what we are about, that we can't lose it. That's why during Lent we keep on going on and on and on about reading our Bibles, saying our prayers, spending time with God. It's to form our characters so that we are like Him, that we love Him, that we're able to be with God forever. Able to throw all that the world and even the devil wants to throw at us, to throw back God's word to keep us safe, to keep us in that relationship. That's what Lent ultimately is for. To form us, make us, shape us, to live with and for God. So may God give you a holy Lent. May it draw you closer to God. May it confirm you in your identity as God's precious child. That's who each of us is. So that together, just as the temptations in the wilderness tested Jesus to know who he was, we can know who we are. That we can hear the same voice that Jesus heard at his baptism. You are my child, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Amen.